Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Megillat Echa. We started last year. We're in Pasuk Bet. We actually are in the middle of the Pasuk. Of course, the Megillah of Echa was written by Yirmiyahu Hanavi.
Yes.
About the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. So he says over here, describing the events of the time, simply talking about the time of the destruction. He says, Bachot Tivke Balayla, which means that the Jewish people or crying at night. Vedim'ata al-lehaya. And her tear was on her cheek. It's interesting. The Megillah talks about the Jewish people in singular form. Really, you should say, in plural, they cry their tears. But the whole discussion here refers to the Jewish people in a singular form. Perhaps it's a hint to one of the major issues that we have in our people, that we need to become together. Am Yisrael is referred to as one person, one neshama. So anyway, it says here, En la menachen. The word menachen means to console, like nihum avelim. En la menachen, in the time of the destruction, there was no one to console Am Yisrael, the people of the time that were experiencing this terrible destruction. They had nobody to come and console them. Mikol ohaveha, from all those who loved her. Simply, we're going to learn first the pasuk simple. Why would a person who loves another person not be able to console him when he's having or experiencing a tragedy? Why can't you console him? What's the problem? So simply speaking, when the tragedies continue, lo aleinu, one after another, you can't console the person. Because the whole concept of consolation is that, okay, it happened, there are better things coming. Person has a positive view of the future. It gives them strength that whatever took place is behind them and they have something to look forward to. But when the problems are constant, a person loses their ability to be consoled. How many times could you console a person and make him feel like it's going to be okay? He did it once, he was consoled. He did it twice. But if it keeps coming back, you can't console them. That's why it says, En la menachem. She doesn't have someone to console her. Mikol ohaveha. Nobody that loves her is able to give her consolation. Continues the pasuk and says, Kol re'eha. All her friends. It's interesting. It just spoke about Ohavea, the people who love her. Now it talks about her friends. Simply speaking, your friends are people that love you. Hopefully, otherwise, why are they called your friends? Here it talks about, seems to be two different groups. They are the people who love her, they can't console her. And then her friends, Bagduba. Bagduba means they were traitors to her. Bagduba. Hayulah le'oyabim. They were her enemies.
Interesting.
So what does it mean on a simple level to understand? Even if someone doesn't have the ability to be consoled, but at the very least, if they're around their friends, even though there's nothing really to say, but the very fact that they're around people that are considered their friends, that in itself gives them some strength. Again, no way to console them, but friendship has a way of making people feel a little better. So he's saying even that didn't happen. Call Re'aya Barduba, because our friends became traitors. They got rid of the friendship. Hayulale Oyadim, they became her enemies. Some explain Hayula. Hayula means they were always her enemies. She just imagined that they were their friends. But when it came to the destruction, they realized that her friends really were not her friends. They were temporary friends. On the external showed friendship. Hayula. Hayu is in the past. When a person wants to know who their real friends are, nobody wants to make this test. But you really know your friends when you're having a hard time. So over here, all our friends that she at least figured would be there with her, she realized that all along, they were not her friends, and they were her oyabim. So that's the simple explanation. That the destruction was so great, that there was no one to console, and there were no friends. So a person feels, obviously, alone and hopeless. I like to share with you a midrash, and I'm going to try to explain it. It's not going to be what the words actually say. I hope that we're going to explain it in a way that the midrash would be pleased with. The midrash says something interesting. En la menachem mikol ohaveha, says the midrash, who are ohaveha? Who are those that love her? Who are they referring to? Says the Midrash, Elu Nevi'e HaSheker. These are the false prophets. Shehitna Be'ule Yisrael. That they would give prophecy to the people. Of course, false prophecy. And because of them, Am Yisrael didn't make Teshuvah. Such an interesting thing. Sounds like Am Yisrael by nature would make Teshuvah. Even if it's not on their own. But if they experience some shaker in their life, it seems that the natural reaction of a Jew when they feel uncomfortable is to make teshuvah. I'm sure you all know, I myself have many, many thousands of situations where you see a person got shaken up, something happened to him, someone in the family, or even something that happened to the Jewish people, what happened a few years ago, in Simchat Torah, to our people, even people that weren't involved, people who had no family there, but they were shaken up, and they made teshuvah. I know personally people that changed their lives because of that day. Again, no relatives, nobody from their family died, nobody was a hostage. So, it seems to be that in the nature of a Jew is that when there's a shake-up, he has this natural feeling to bring himself back to Hashem, to make teshuva, to elevate himself, to realize his mistakes. This is the nature of a Jew. That's what this midrash seems to be saying. So how come it didn't work during the time of the destruction? It didn't happen all at once. Where Hashem works with every Jew individually or as a group is He sends them, we'll call them wake-up call. And if things don't improve, so they get a little worse. So how come the nature of the Jew didn't come forth in the time of the destruction? How come their natural reaction to make teshuvah, to change, to improve, to elevate, how come it didn't happen? That's what the words of the Midrash are saying. Listen to these words. That ohaveha, those who showed love to her, who are these people? Elu nevi'e ha-sheker. These were false prophets. That hitnavbe'u le'Yisrael. They gave them false prophecies. Ve'lo hinlihum la'azor. And because of them, they didn't make keshuvah. Which means that even though the nature of a Jew, when they experience something that isn't pleasant, their nature is to turn to Hashem. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha ben Hashuva. The nature of a Jew is through difficulty, he turns to his Creator. But yet Hashem, to make free choice, even in making teshuvah, Hashem sends people that divert them from the natural feeling of teshuvah. What an unbelievable thing this is. So again, something happens to a Jew, the first thing he wants to do is connect to Hashem. He wants to get closer. Hashem sends people that their mission is to divert the guy from making teshuvah. In that time, they were called false prophets. What are these false prophets? If they're false, why are they prophets? And if they're prophets, how are they false? What does it mean, they're false prophets? It means that authentic prophets, like Yirmiyahu HaNavi, like Yeshayahu HaNavi, all the authentic prophets, especially of those days, they spoke a very clear language of truth, much more than people can hear today. They would look at a guy straight to the face and tell him, I know you're in shul today, I know you're praying, but your tefillah is an abomination. What? Guy's thinking, at least I'm in shul. Yell at me, go yell at that. And how do you know anyway? That's an abomination. He's told you. So this is not recommended right now for our society.
Yes.
Such direct, clear, personal. Pull a guy up from a charity function. He said, I saw you gave a nice check to charity. But I know it's all for you. It's all for your honor. Oh!
Doesn't count. God said, I don't want it.
As no.
That's if you open up the Nebi'im, that's the way they spoke. Clear. The language of Emet and very direct. Now, as you're listening, you're feeling a little uncomfortable already, even though I'm not talking to you. Just imagine you were living at that time. I mean, the nature of the people at that time was a little stronger than our time. People's fabric was a little bit tougher. They could hear it. But still, you can imagine that it wasn't a great feeling when you saw Yeshayahu HaNavi walking the streets. You probably crossed the street. I want to see him. You don't want to invite him to your house. You don't want to see your home. You don't want to see what goes on there. Stay clear from these prophets. Every time I see them, they have something else to say about what I'm doing wrong. Imagine every time you see someone, he gives you a little knock. One day it's about your tefillah. One day it's about your tzedakah. One day it's about your learning. One day it's about your midot. Just if after a while, you say, I'm not praying in this shul anymore. Done. I'm out of here. I need a place to go and do my thing. At that time, there were many, many, many people that were struggling to constantly hear the negative things that they were doing or the things they weren't doing. But at the end of the day, it's emet. So even if a person is bothered, even if it's uncomfortable, when he thinks about the truth, he says, look, you've been saying the truth. Okay, they're right. Hashem created in a reality called Nevi'eh HaSheker to offset the power of the Navi who is Emet. What's a Navi Sheker? So he lives in a society of people that don't like to hear anyone tell them they're doing anything wrong. But the reality is they're doing wrong. So comes the Navi Sheker, and he says to the people, come to my shul.
Of course, we have to go to shul.
Of course, we're Jewish people, we gotta do mitzvot. I mean, if they didn't have a shul, if they don't do mitzvot, so he's already out of Judaism. So he wouldn't have any kind of power. Who is listening to a guy who's a goy? So of course he comes with all the Nevi'im material. He comes with all the prophet material. What does a regular prophet tell people to do to pray? He also tells them to pray. He gives to that guy, he also talks to them. He talks the language of the prophet. Otherwise, there's no way to bring people in. At the end of the day, well, I'm Israel. We're not falling for the goyim. We're not falling for nonsense. So the guy comes and he talks the language of the prophets. He keeps the Dvar Torah on the Shulchan. They have a meal. He gives a few words of the Dvar Torah. He has a Bet Knesset. They have Shiurim. He has all the material that a regular Navi has. So much so that if he would walk into a shul, he would not feel a difference in the observance. He's a Navi. In our world today, we don't have Nevi'im, but we have rabbis. So he said, let's make a Bet Knesset that follows more or less all the rules. This way, guy says, you know something? Why do I have to go sit every morning with Yeshayahu and Nabi and get yelled at? I come in late, he yells at me. By mistake, I said something to my friend. He goes crazy at me. Everything I do is under microscope. But do I have to sit in a shul, Yeshayahu and Nabi, who takes everything I do, puts it under a microscope and is analyzing it? I go to the other shul. Very nice. I come in an hour late. They say, oh, good morning. It's great to see you.
So happy you came. Kind of they'll give you a hug.
People are talking in shul. No problem. In fact, I'll also talk a little with them, just so that if you're comfortable. What an experience. Guy goes home to his wife and says, he says, I found my rabbi. I found my shul. I found my people. You don't understand. Every time I go to the other shul, I feel pressure, tension. Here, it's such a home-like feeling. It's comfortable, it's easy, it's happy. So that was the reality of the time. You can go to the shul of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, or you have a much more comfortable option. You hear words of Nebu'ah, so it's religious. Not like you're going to sit on the beach somewhere. You hear religious things coming out. But the whole process is sheker. What makes it sheker? If you're hearing good things, why is it sheker? Answer is, because if someone who's supposed to be leading you, helping you in Torah and Mitzvot, and doesn't tell you that you're doing something wrong when he sees it, then his whole Torah is sheker. The Torah is for himself. He wants to have a shul. He wants to have a following. He wants people to come and feel good, and he could lead them. But he doesn't care about the people. Because if he really cared about them, he would figure out a way to get them the message. Maybe they can't handle the language of Yeshayahu. Maybe they need another kind of language. I'm not saying a person has to go yell and scream all day long. But they have to know that their main mission in life is to help the people get better and elevate themselves. That's your mission. A Navi Sheker was all about himself. It's about having a following. It's about having people coming to you as their leader. It's about your own elevation. It wasn't about the person. Someone who's with you day to day and never rebukes you doesn't love you. Fact. Just last night, I was talking to someone who was having a little bad feelings about something with his parents. So I said to him, I want to tell you something. I said, who annoys you the most in life? It's my parents. I said, who loves you the most in life? My parents, even he knew that. I said, that's not a coincidence. So when you love somebody, you want to tell them things which sometimes might annoy them because you care about them. Their growth is more important than the relationship. I'd rather you hate me and you be successful. That's a real father. That's a real mother. I'd rather we don't talk, if that was the option, and you be a successful person in life. I'm willing to make the relation even uncomfortable because I want you to be greater. Of course, I'd love to have both. If we can do both, it's beautiful. But given the choice, someone who cares about you would say, don't talk to me anymore, but stop doing that. That's how much you love somebody. That their goodness is greater than the relationship you have with them. Again, it's not the best way to go. Best way is to keep a relationship. I'm just saying, in an extreme example, in an extreme example, if those were the two choices, a person who loves you will choose to help you more than the relationship. And certainly, Kol Shekin, all the more so, it's not about them. It's not about their position. It's not about their job. It's not about their legacy. It's about the person sitting in front of you.
What?
That's the story with Nevi'e HaSheker. Nevi'e HaSheker were created in Am Yisrael so that when Am Yisrael has a feeling to make teshuvah, they will be there. It's a diburtan. You go to Yeshayahu and you ask him, what should I do? I have this problem that happened in my family, in my life. What should I do? Yeshayahu will tell you. You gotta start picking up your observance. You gotta wake up earlier. You can't do that anymore. You can't eat not kosher. You gotta keep Shabbat the right way. You gotta do A, B, C, D. We go through Navi Sheker. I'm having some issues with my family. What should I do? Check the mezuzah. Not such a bad thing, actually. Because the mezuzah is an important part of the hope. But the fact that that's the first answer, it means the person you're looking at himself is perfect. The only issue could be the mezuzah on his door. Because you can't find anything else in him. You're looking at a person who's shalem. What could be broken in this guy's life? The only thing I can think of is that maybe, ulai, the mezuzah on your door is not perfect. Because you're perfect. You're a Sefer Torah Shalem. You don't need any kind of sofer to look at you. You're Torah perfect. Maybe the mezuzah on the door, something happened to you. That's a nadi sheke. I don't say don't check the mezuzot. Do not misunderstand me. Because the mezuzot are very important and they need to be checked. But it very often is not about the mezuzot. It's about you. You go to the nadi sheke, say, I'm having an issue with shidduchim. I want to get married. Listen, I have a red string for you. Unbelievable. So I'm struggling to find the shidduch. It was all the red string? I can't believe it. What an item. You go to Yeshayahu, he tells you, you're not getting married? Let me tell you why. Maybe you're not ready to be married. Look at your midot. Look at your anger. Thank God you're not married. I'm afraid that you will get married with half a piece. Look at the way you talk. Look at the way you relate to people. Fix yourself. Maybe it's a message from Hashem to start growing in your life. The other guy, Zenon, sells a red string to you. Beautiful. What a guy. All my problems solved. Or my mezuzah is off, or I'm missing a piece of jewelry on my head. And you can write the rest of the stories yourself. Each person, each Tavi Sheker has his own unique way of helping people. But all of them have the same common denominator. They're all easy and have nothing to do with the actual person. This is the story of the Jewish people then and now. And throughout generations, there's always this reality called the Nabi Sheker. Whether he's a prophet or he's a rabbi or he's a whoever. What is he all about, this Nabi Sheker? Basically, he's there to make people like him. And all the benefits that may come out of that. Maybe a position, maybe financial, maybe whatever. Maybe honor. His goal, number one, is that people respect him and consider him their leader. That's called a Navi Sheker. Doesn't mean everything about him is Sheker. If it was, he wouldn't be a Navi. Of course, he has to have. Oh, is it nice? He knows a lot. He knows. He sat with him. Can people say that? He knows. So what he knows? He doesn't know. He's not a Navi. Of course, he has to know. But ultimately, the person that we go to, or the person we should be, is someone who's concerned about you and your spiritual growth. He's not a person who yells and screams for no reason. Some people yell and scream, won't help them. So you have to be strong with them in other ways. You have to figure out a way to get to their heart. But that has to be your ultimate goal. If there's talking in the Bet Knesset, your goal has to be that they should stop talking. Nothing short of that. Because you care about them. A person talks in the Bet Knesset, one of the worst averot. Come to God's home and you're talking to your friend. It's such a slap on the face. Of course, the person may be ignorant. The person doesn't realize. We understand that. But a Navi Emet is worried about the person. So maybe day one he can't tell him. Maybe day two he can't tell him. But he's got to sub. It's got to be in his mind. It's got to be a way I'm going to get to him. The Navi Sheker, he's talking with him also. He's also talking. Because he wants everyone to feel comfortable. He's all about comfort and making people feel good. But ultimately, it's really about him. That's called Ohaveha, says the Midrash. En la menahem. There's nobody to console her anymore. We call Ohaveha. All those people that they went to for guidance. And they told them, it's nothing to do with you. Many Nevi'ei Sheker. Someone comes to them and says, I'm having an issue. Oh, it has nothing to do with you. And anyone who tells you that, they're just judging you. Nothing to do with you. You didn't do anything wrong. These things happen. Oh, really? Things just happen. Every day you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Eloheinu, Hashem Echad. Things just happen. Something went wrong in someone's life, just happened. That's the message you give the guy. I'm not saying you have to go down on him and destroy him, but you gotta figure out a way to tell him something. This is the Nevi'ei Sheker reality Hashem made in our people. That people who should make teshuvah will not make teshuvah. That people who should have changed by now did not change. There are many people that you and I both know for years haven't made a change in their life. They're still eating not kosher. They're still not Shomer Shabbat. They're still doing it. And very often it's because of the Navi Sheker they're around. If they're around people that actually care about them, they would have moved the needle. It would have changed a little bit, something. Which Jew doesn't want to change? Which Jew doesn't have his nature to change? But I'm with the guy for 50 years. He never one time told me, you can't eat that. You can't do that. Navi Sheken, according to what we're learning in the Midrash, was one of the main reasons of the destruction. Ela menahem nikol ohavea. Yirmiyahu Navi saying, now, after a failure of such magnitude, you live 90 years and you're still the same person you were 20 years ago. Go call the people who loved you all these years. Let's see if they can console you. When you look at your life and you say, oh, how did I not grow? I went to school with this guy. We were in school together. I look at him. I see his family. I see the kiddusha in his home. I see the difference. How did I become like this? We were together in school. next door neighbors.
Says Yirmiyahu Nabi, go figure out from your ohaveha, the people who showed you love, go ask them for consolation. There'll be a point where the results are so obviously clear, there's no consolation. You look at the tree and the results and you say, I can't believe it. The difference. En la menachel nikol ohaveha.
Person has to be very, very honest with himself. Today was not a class to wipe out the Nevi'e Sheker that lived in the Jewish nation. They are all over the place. That's not going to change. That's a reality of the Jewish people. A person has to realize that the person that I consider my Navi needs to be a person who cares about me. And he tells me, and he rebukes me, whether it's directly, indirectly, but he talks about it. That's the kind of person I need to be around. I know I'm not perfect, but I want someone who's going to help me become better. Our natural desire for comfort should not be in the Bet Knesset. Our desire for comfort could be in your home. You're buying a couch, buy a comfortable couch. Buy a comfortable home. Get a comfortable car. But don't get a comfortable rabbi. Comfort is not for the spiritual part of the person. It's not how you choose. If you happen to be comfortable also with the person who cares about you and tells you, it's fine. But that's not the way you decide which shul you should pray in, which binyan you should pray in, which rabbi is going to be with you. This is not about eradicating Nevi'e Sheker. They're all over the place. It's about a person being honest with himself and realizing that in the world of growth, sometimes not being comfortable is the way to become something greater. Better to be uncomfortable now and succeed in your life than to find comfort in a place that lulls you to sleep and you end up feeling empty many years down the line. This is the story of Am Yisrael through history. It's not a new thing. It's always been around. Be'ezrat Hashem, we find clarity in this area to surround ourselves with people who actually care for us. Have a wonderful day. Black.